We are rolling into hour number three of the Rod Arkent Show with you on this Monday afternoon here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. 1 hour from now will be the Jesse Kelly Show coming your way. All right, still a lot to get to as we dig deep into what we'll be talking to you about this hour. Here in just a minute, we're going to be talking about our perilous yet magnificent future. Don't seem to make sense, do they? We'll talk about that. Why is the Democratic Party sold out? We'll get into that as well. And Biden's fundraising numbers. You know, what they say, he raised $25 million last Thursday at that big gala in New York City. Did you see the video of him and Obama and Clinton rising from the ashes, so to speak, below stage? And, you know, it was sickening. But where is all his money coming from? We'll talk about that as well. But right now, let's talk about what's going on in this country. We've spent some time already. The establishment narrative here in the country right now is negative. Do you hear anything positive coming today from the Democratic Party and the progressives within the party? You know, the centerpiece, of course, of all this negativity is we're all going to die in a few years because of climate change. That's what it really comes down to. And if that wasn't enough, you know, Americans are perpetually inundated with panic over, let's see, racism, disease, gender bigotry, capitalist oppression, white supremacy, all of this. It's all designed to scare the living daylights out of us. Well, could our future also be magnificent and not perilous, as the progressives like to describe it? Joining us on our Newsmaker line to talk more about that is our next guest. Always great to have Ed on the show. Ed Ring is a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness. Ed, thanks for joining us tonight with, you know, this perilous, magnificent, perilous future that we have, Ed. How on earth do we overcome all of this?
Well, you know, Americans are realizing that they can't trust the mainstream media. They can't trust the federal government in many cases, and they're realizing there's a hidden agenda behind these mainstream narratives on climate and on equity or race relations. It's all to grow government. It's to further centralize economic and political power. And, you know, you can't just recognize that these narratives of fear have a hidden agenda. You have to refute them. You have to explain why, you know, the world isn't coming to an end. America is an inclusive democracy. Republicans aren't Nazis. And here's why. And when you do that, it's more effective. You know, you're telling a good story. You know, you're refuting a narrative of fear and doom. So the way you communicate that message should be with optimism. It should be positive and upbeat, because it is. It you know, what we believe is a brighter future than what the left is selling. And so that's a powerful weapon. Optimism is contagious. You know, joy believing in a bright future, that's persuasive to people.
And how does the average man or woman on the street do that exactly? I mean, the people who are going to, you know, talk about doom and gloom or always seem to be loaded with facts and try to explain everything. For the average person, though, as you talk about, how do they counter that argument? They may not have all the facts and all the information, but they do have optimism. So how do they counter that, Ed?
Well, you know, that's a tough one, because we have facts and information that refute their facts and information. You know, we get in trouble for saying the word alternative facts, but the reality in assessing things like climate science and the state of race relations in America is people can look at the same information and come up with completely different conclusions. If you're willing to look around and do a little bit of searching on the internet for people that are credentialed scientists that have a completely different perspective on what's going on with the climate, and there are journalists that are following these scientists and experts, you're going to have access to very persuasive arguments. And the same goes for race relations. There are all kinds of persuasive, fact-based arguments about why people can succeed in America, that America is not, you know, has not stacked the decks against people of color or people who are different. It's a country where we have plenty of evidence that people who don't fit the stereotype of the privileged white male have still been extremely successful. So there's all kinds of narratives that counter the narrative of fear. Mm-hmm. And you have to do some homework. But if you do that and you present this evidence, do it in a positive manner, you know, because I think one of the ways they win is they present the right as being very angry. And we have very good reason to be angry. You know, the things we're afraid of are just as real to us, which is sort of a, you know, the takeover of our country and an authoritarian government, because we're supposedly trying to cope with racism and a, you know, imminent Nazi coup and climate change. That's being used against us to create an authoritarian system. And that's something to be afraid about, and that's something to be angry about. But the first step to realign the electorate against this hidden agenda and this leftist narrative that was going to take us to that dark future is to be optimistic simply by refuting all of those arguments and talking about why the future is not so gloomy and dark and why America is not such an unwelcoming place. And that, you got to do it.
Ed, what do we do about technology? Because, you know, we have a real chance here with the advances in technology, I think, to make all of our lives better, but it does scare some people. How do we embrace, or how do we handle this sometimes fear of technology?
Well, technology can be scary, and we should be very cautious about technology, especially nowadays, since we're making new advances so fast and we don't understand where all of it's taking us. But when you have a you know, an alternative vision of technology, you seize control of the left's claim to be the innovators. You know, why is the Silicon Valley filled up with leftists? That's not inevitable. But if you're going to explain why some of the things that are being pushed, like wind farms and solar farms and battery farms, if you can explain why they shouldn't be taking over all of our energy investments, you don't want that to suggest at the same time that you're against innovation. There's all kinds of breakthrough energy technologies and technologies in all kinds of other areas that are on the way. You know, electric vehicles aren't here yet, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep working on them. Let them compete in a free market. And just because we don't want to massively subsidize renewables, that shouldn't mean we're against all government investment in infrastructure and research. We've done great good by having these kinds of investments, interstate highways, rural electrification, hydroelectric projects. Yeah. It goes on and on. Yeah. So we have to get in the weeds and be willing to be involved in these decisions on government spending and investment in technology, or those decisions are going to be made for us.
Final question for you, Ed. You know, the fear that I have sometimes, or a reaction I have sometimes, I think a lot of my listeners may as well, that we fear this doom and panic, the advances, these various policies from the left are almost being shoved down our throats. And, you know, sometimes we feel, well, what can we do about it? What do we do about it? How do we handle all of this? What would you suggest, Ed?
Well, you know, aren't you in Utah?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the state of Utah, I think, has a lot more common sense than their electorate already.
Yeah, we do.
They've come a lot further.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just didn't fall as far to begin with. But, you know, that's a big factor here, is just the power of states to sort of set some of this agenda and control some of this rollout. You know, you just don't want to make the same mistake as the left. The left is failing to trust technology and innovation by making us do all of this so fast. So one of the things you can say is, why are we, you know, betting the whole farm on technology? And I'm talking about photovoltaics and electric vehicles as they're currently designed. Why are we putting all of our eggs into this basket right now, when 10 years from now, all of that stuff's going to be obsolete? You know, so you can expose them as not having faith in innovation and technology. Have to be involved in that. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, it is part of it. It's always great to have Ed Ring on the show. Ed, of course, a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness, talking about our perilous future. All right, more coming up here on the Rod Arquette Show on this Monday evening, right here on Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.